What's stopping you from getting the original Peloton bike?
I need flexibility with my workouts.
Choose from thousands of classes available 24/7.
It's hard for me to stay motivated.
Programs, artist series, and badges keep you reaching new goals.
45-minute bike boot camp. 30-minute hit ride.
My 45-minute hip-hop ride.
You get all that? For how much?
The original Peloton bike is now at its best price ever. Get game-changing cardio at a new game-changing price. The original Peloton bike, now $400 less. Learn more at onepeloton.com.
You hear the music. Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. This is the program that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the NFL. Coming up on this week's program, we have Cody Rourke. He is the host of the Locked On Broncos podcast. The podcast is dedicated to covering Denver Broncos content. He's also the Denver Broncos reporter and analyst for the Locked On Network and KUSA-TV, the NBC affiliate in Denver, Colorado, and a director of video content for Pro Football Network. We recap the Broncos game against the Jaguars in week two. Also, we look at the Broncos offense and defense. Also, we talk about Teddy Bridgewater, the Broncos' next game against the Jets, and so much more. That's coming up on this week's program. But as first, we got to get to the scores from the week two's most important games. I got to tell you, there was a lot of exciting action in and around week two in the National Football League. So let's get you caught up now on some of the scores from week two's most important games in the NFL. Let's start off with the Thursday night showdown in the NFC East matchup between the New York Giants and the Washington football team. Dustin Hopkins' game-winning field goal helped Washington beat the Giants. Final score, 30-29. The Las Vegas Raiders went up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger, quarterback for the Steelers, suffered a pectoral injury in this contest. The Raiders would go on, would move to 2-0. They beat the Steelers 26-17. A great one in the city of brotherly love, a tight contest between the San Francisco 49ers and the Philadelphia Eagles. The 49ers would go on to beat the Eagles 17-11. Matchup in the NFC South between the New Orleans Saints and the Carolina Panthers. The Saints were the stars of week one. In week two, not so much. Carolina handled their business, beating the Saints. Final score, 26-7. The Atlanta Falcons went up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFC South rivalry game. Tom Brady and the crew handled their business. The Bucs would go on to beat the Dirty Birds 48-25. The Dallas Cowboys went up against the Los Angeles Chargers. A game-winning field goal by Greg Zuerlein gave the Cowboys a 20-17 victory over the Chargers. Sunday night football, what a matchup between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson and the crew handled their business. The Ravens would win by 1 point, 36-35. And in Monday night football, the pack is back. Aaron Rodgers, 4 touchdown passes, and also solid showing by the Packer defense as the Packers will go on to beat the Detroit Lions. Final score, 35-17 in Monday night football. And those were the scores from week two's most important games in the National Football League. All right, let's get to my top three storylines. I'm going to start off with the New Orleans Saints. What a difference a week makes. I always say that the NFL is a week-to-week business. 1 week you're on top of the world. You may be on top of the world for the next week or two or maybe three, maybe even the first 5 weeks or even the first half of the year. But don't get too high and don't get too low, because one thing about the NFL, it'll humble you really quickly. And, man, what a difference a week made for the New Orleans Saints. After winning week one's debacle, beating the Green Bay Packers, injuries had set in for the team. Also, COVID-19 set in. That's still a reality in our world. And, in the midst of that, they had to get ready for a rivalry game against the Carolina Panthers. The Saints, I expected this game to be a close one. I had the Saints winning by a touchdown. That was completely far from the truth. I was made a fool out of it, and then some. I knew Sam Darnold would have a solid game. I was not expecting Sam Darnold to do this much damage against the New Orleans Saints. And give credit to the defense as well of the Carolina Panthers. They shut Jameis Winston down and then some. Alvin Kamara had no answers. He couldn't do anything. Marquez Callaway, Deontay Harris, no one had any answers for Carolina's defense. the New Orleans Saints, man. And then on top of that, the roof was on fire, literally and figuratively, because the top, the roof of the Caesars Superdome caught on fire as a result of workers pressure washing the roof. They got that under control, thank goodness. And they're going to have to be on fire against the New England Patriots. I'll get more into that game a little bit later. But the Saints, again, the NFL is a week-to-week, is a week-to-week business. 1 week it could be on top of the world. The next week it could go downhill. Injuries, the NFL, the season is long and it's gotten even longer since they added the extra week. So the Saints, man, you talk about a fall from grace. The Saints were the darlings of the league just a week ago. Like the song by Too Short and Jay-Z, it was all good just a week ago. It was all good just a week ago with the New Orleans Saints. And now they had this loss to Carolina. They have a lot to make up for in this upcoming game against the New England Patriots. My next storyline is going to be the Green Bay Packers. Similar to the New Orleans Saints, what a difference a week makes. Green Bay was talked about because of the humiliating loss to the Saints. Aaron Rodgers did not play his best ball, had his worst showing in his NFL career. They had to get it fixed, and they got it fixed in a hurry by beating the Detroit Lions on Monday Night Football 35-17. Is Green Bay back? Green Bay is back for the time being. And, yeah, you could say, yeah, they played Detroit. Yeah, they played Detroit. It's a division rivalry. Yes. However, Green Bay, they had this was a must-win game for them so early in the year, and this could be the this game was going to be the litmus test for the Sunday night matchup against San Francisco. I'll get more into that game a little bit later on in the program. But let's get back to Green Bay for a second. So what a difference a week made. They were humiliated by the New Orleans Saints, and then they come out on Monday night in their home opener at Lambeau Field against the Detroit Lions in a division rivalry game. They came in, handled their business. It was close. The game was close throughout the first half. Second half, Green Bay just ran away with it and then some. So is Green Bay poised to make a run? I think Green Bay is definitely poised to make a run. Will Aaron Rodgers be consistent? Yeah, I think he'll be consistent. Did we count Green Bay out too early? Yeah, I think we did count him out too early. Like Aaron said, it's just one game. It's a long season. We got to relax, just relax. He told us to relax a few years ago, and rightfully so. So everybody relaxed. Green Bay handled their business. And now they're currently 1-1 with that victory over Detroit on Monday night. And for my last storyline is Lamar Jackson. How about Lamar Jackson? He's only in his fourth year in the league, but, man, he's a league MVP. And, man, one of the most exciting, not just quarterbacks, one of the most exciting players in the league. In week one, the Ravens lost a tough one on Monday night in overtime to the Las Vegas Raiders. And this week two game, similar to Green Bay, when Green Bay had that statement game against Detroit, this game against Kansas City was indeed a statement game for Baltimore. Everyone said that the Chiefs were Baltimore's kryptonite. Patrick Mahomes was Lamar Jackson's kryptonite. And in front of a Sunday night television audience, they had to get it right and then some. And, boy, did they get it right. It was close. It was a close game from start to finish. And you must remember, there was a key ingredient, because remember, the Ravens were up 36-35. It was under 2 minutes left in the contest. This was right after the two-minute warning. It was fourth and short. I don't know the exact distance, but Lamar looked over on the sideline at Coach John Harbaugh, and he asked him, he said, you want to go for it? He said, let's go for it, because Coach Harbaugh asked Lamar, he said, you want to go for it? He said, yeah, let's do it. Let's go for it. So they went for it on fourth and short, and they got the first down, and it capped Baltimore's first win of the year. So Lamar Jackson, man, you talk about being a risk taker, gutsy play call, and trusting his instincts. And with Coach Harbaugh, give John Harbaugh a lot of credit for asking his quarterback, you want to go for it? And Lamar said yes, and that's what you need. Somebody, not just a quarterback, but just a player or players with confidence to make decisions like that. And certainly Lamar put faith in his abilities and his confidence and put it to the test. Coach Harbaugh trusted him. They were able to convert on that fourth down. They got the first down, and game was over with. Baltimore would win 36-35. And I mean, I think this is just a litmus test of what is to come for Lamar Jackson in his 2021 NFL season. The only thing that I worry about is COVID. He's had it twice. We don't know how it's going to affect. We know he loves to run the ball, and when you run it, it involves a lot of stamina. We don't know how his oxygen levels are going to be going forward towards this season. We're still in this COVID world, but for now, you know, let's enjoy Lamar. Let's enjoy his MVP caliber play and just what's to come in this long 2021 NFL season. That takes care of segment number one on this program. When we come back from the break, I have an interview with Cody Rourke. He's the host of the Locked On Broncos podcast. The podcast is dedicated to covering Denver Broncos content. He also works as an analyst for the Locked On Network and KUSA-TV, the NBC affiliate in Denver, Colorado. And he's also the director of video content for Pro Football Network. We recap the Broncos game against the Jaguars from week two. Also, we talk Teddy Bridgewater, the Broncos' next game against the New York Jets, and so much more. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to The League Wraparound.
You live in a smart home powered by Cox Internet, so you're not thinking about the pizza delivery. You're thinking how nice it is to get everyone together for a fun night. You're not thinking about the pizza. Maybe just a little.
Cox Home Life. Show me the front porch camera.
Pizza!
View your Cox Home Life cameras right from your TV using your Contour voice remote. Visit cox.com/thisishome to learn more.
Advertised features require subscription to Cox Internet and Contour TV. A high-speed internet connection is required. Home Life Security Services subject to Home Life Security Service Agreement. Cox Home Life Services provided by Cox License Entities. See cox.com/licenses.
School is changing, and Cox is committed to keeping your family connected. If you have a K-12 student and receive government assistance, you may be eligible for fast, affordable internet from Cox. No deposits, no annual contracts, just affordable internet for your home. Visit cox.com/connect to compete for program details. Applicants may need to provide documentation for eligibility. Available to qualifying new residential Cox Internet customers in Cox service areas who meet eligibility criteria. Other restrictions apply.
Se siente bien saber que cuando le pones sirope a tu Big Breakfast with the hotcakes de McDonald's, tú controlas dónde cae. Primero se acerca a tu biscuit y rodea la salchicha. Luego llega a tus hash browns y finalmente a tus huevos revueltos, dándoles ese sabor dulce del maple. Ordena por anticipado en el app de McDonald's y que fluya el sirope. Para pa pa pa. Móvil Order and Pay en McDonald's participantes se requiere la descarga y registro.
Life gets more magical when you dream. So dream of a Disney cruise filled with magic and wonder.
How?
Sail from Florida to Disney's private island paradise and get ready for a dream come true with Disney Cruise Line. Life gets more magical when you dream. So dream of a Disney cruise filled with magic and wonder.
Hiya, pal!
Sail from Florida to Disney's private island paradise and get ready for a dream come true with Disney Cruise Line. Life gets a lot more magical when you dream. So let's dream of a vacation unlike any other. A magical Disney cruise.
Hiya, pal!
Where new stories meet tales as old as time.
Enchanté, mon ami!
And your family will be cared for the moment you step aboard. Sail from Florida to Disney's private island paradise and get ready for a dream come true with Disney Cruise Line.
Tuvo en un accidente y no sabe qué hacer, nunca abandone la escena del accidente. Asegúrese de obtener la información del otro conductor, como el nombre, número telefónico e información del seguro. Si está lesionado, no olvide de buscar tratamiento médico, como ir al hospital o ver a un doctor. No hable con nadie de la compañía de seguros del otro conductor. Hable con un abogado con experiencia. Llame a Gordon McKernan Abogados de Accidentes al 225-888-8888 para una consulta gratuita. Somos tu voz, portavoz pagado.
Con Cox Internet y Home Life, sabes cuándo llega tu pizza. Ver cámaras.
¡Pizza!
Ve tus cámaras Home Life en tu TV con el control por voz de Contour.
Funciones requieren suscripción a Cox Internet y Contour TV. Servicios provistos por entidades licenciadas de Cox. TheCox.com/licencias.
You could bring home the bacon, but why stop there? When you shop with Safeway for You, you can bring home the entire breakfast. The bacon, the eggs, the pancakes, and more. You can bring home great rewards, personalized deals, and points to redeem on groceries and gas. You can even bring home a free treat on your birthday. Sounds like we're gonna need a bigger frying pan. Become a free Safeway For You member today. No purchase necessary. Download the Safeway Deals and Delivery app and feed your joy. Visit safeway.com/foryou for program details.
School is changing, and Cox is committed to keeping your family connected. If you have a K-12 student and receive government assistance, you may be eligible for fast, affordable internet from Cox. No deposits, no annual contracts, just affordable internet for your home. Visit cox.com/connect to compete for program details. Applicants may need to provide documentation for eligibility. Available to qualifying new residential Cox Internet customers in Cox service areas who meet eligibility criteria. Other restrictions apply.
Life gets more magical when you dream. So dream of a Disney cruise filled with magic and wonder.
Hiya, pal!
Sail from Florida to Disney's private island paradise and get ready for a dream come true with Disney Cruise Line.
What's stopping you from getting the original Peloton bike?
I need flexibility with my workouts.
Choose from thousands of classes available 24/7.
It's hard for me to stay motivated.
Programs, artist series, and badges keep you reaching new goals.
45-minute bike boot camp. 30-minute hit ride.
My 45-minute hip-hop ride.
You get all that? For how much?
The original Peloton bike is now at its best price ever. Get game-changing cardio at a new game-changing price. The original Peloton bike, now $400 less. Learn more at onepeloton.com.
Con Cox Internet y Home Life, sabes cuándo llega tu pizza. Ver cámaras.
¡Pizza!
Ve tus cámaras Home Life en tu TV con el control por voz de Contour.
Funciones requieren suscripción a Cox Internet y Contour TV. Servicios provistos por entidades licenciadas de Cox. TheCox.com/licencias.
It's great coming out today. Coming with another victory. It's great coming in their locker room right now. It's great to be a part of it. Talk about sacrificing. I think we did a great job of doing that today. Came out here a day early. Guys are with their families. I'm a Florida guy. I couldn't really see my family while out here, but you know, we all came together and made a decision that hey, it's about one thing, coming out here and winning. You know, we did a good job of doing that. Of course, you know, when you watch games, you go back, there's some room for improvement. You know, but the best feeling right now is, and we play this game, we win. And I think we were like 2-for-11 on third down. So every week something's going to come up where like, man, you were great in one area, you improved in one area, but it's all about finding a way to win. And we did a great job with that. Defense came away, a couple turnovers. You know, we can't give up a special teams touchdown. We can't keep selling field goals on some of these drives, but, you know, the feeling in that locker room, you don't want to take it away from the guys. So a lot of room for improvement. Great team win. Can't wait to get back home. 2-0, get to play in front of the pack, then with Broncos Stadium. I get to experience it this time, playing for the Broncos. I experienced it the year the Broncos won the Super Bowl. I was with the Vikings, and I can tell you right now, it's not a fun sight. So looking forward to that. And, yeah.
Courtland, a career high today. Catch it there. How impressed were you, and how good did it feel to get him involved?
Man, it was great seeing Court. Going out there, making plays. We did a great job just calling shots, giving those guys a chance. And we knew that it was going to be a game where those guys came up to play for man. We get some single high coverage. And we just told our guys, you got to win the one-on-one battles. And, you know, that's all around. Up front, offensive line, win the one-on-one battles. Wideouts, tight ends, halfbacks. Everyone got to win the one-on-one battles. And Court did a great job of going out there and making plays. He had a career high today. It's great to see that. We talk about.
All right, welcome back, everybody. That audio is courtesy of Denver Broncos and quarterback Teddy Bridgewater in the post-game press conference with the Broncos win over the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I got to tell you, the Broncos offense has been solid so far with Teddy as the starting quarterback. And I got to tell you, when Carolina pulled off the trade to get Teddy, and I had high hopes for Denver once Teddy had a became the quarterback for the Broncos as the Broncos made a trade. Of course, we know the Broncos have had a whirlwind in the cycle of quarterbacks since the retirement of Peyton Manning. And someone that's on the program now, that's a gentleman. He is a reporter and analyst for the Denver Broncos, and he's also the host of the Locked On Broncos podcast. It's a podcast dedicated to all things related to the Denver Broncos. Let's welcome him to the program, Cody Rourke. Cody, welcome to the program.
Ed, thanks for having me, man. How are things going?
Things are going well, sir. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So let's get right to it. The team that you cover, the Denver Broncos, they had an impressive win over the Jacksonville Jaguars, 23-13. Cody, what were some of the takeaways that you got from the Broncos' win over Jacksonville?
Well, you know, I think that when you look at every area of the game, offense, defense, special teams, the offensive side of the ball, you know, you want Denver to kind of run the ball a little bit more. But Jacksonville, you know, as Vic Fangio said yesterday, they went to extreme measures to kind of prevent the run from happening. So really it was on Teddy Bridgewater. And what we saw for a second week in a row for the Broncos was Teddy really command the offense down the field, converting on opportunities. Now, I'd say the one concern from the offensive side of the ball that I think, you know, I still have after 2 weeks would be the Broncos' efficiency on third down. You know, for example, 2 for 11 against the Jags. You have to improve that, especially when you start playing some of the better teams you're going to face here in the next couple of weeks, obviously like the Baltimore Ravens, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Las Vegas Raiders. Denver's going to have to get some things adjusted if they want to take the next step. But Teddy's in command of the offense. It's a promising sign defensively. The Broncos, they had a rough first series, but then from that point forward, they adjusted, and they made it very difficult for Trevor Lawrence to really get in rhythm.
Okay, and then, Sally, yeah, we're going to get more into Teddy in just a moment. I want to get into the Broncos and Broncos offense and defense. I want to start off with the Broncos offense in this game against Jacksonville. In week one, when the Broncos had the win over the Giants, you mentioned about a running game and how the running game didn't get really going in this game against Jacksonville. Melvin Gordon had rushed for over 100 yards and had a touchdown in the game against the Giants. This was a different scenario in the game against Jacksonville. Javonte Williams had 13 carries for 64 yards, and Melvin only had 13 carries for 31 yards. What was your take on the running game in the win against Jacksonville?
Well, you know, the Jacksonville defense, they did a pretty good job of staying stout. Obviously, you're keeping an eye on Miles Jack. He did a really good job of edge contained. So the Broncos, when they tried to run the ball, they really attacked the C gap. They had a couple of outside runs. But for the most part, the Broncos have struggled so far this year at running inside the A gap. And it's going to have to be something that they do fix. Now, obviously, Graham Glasgow did not play for the Broncos this past week. And so they had Netani Muti stepping in there. Obviously, he's had some experience doing all that, you know, in terms of getting some starting experience going back to last year. But, you know, it was evident on Sunday that the Broncos, they missed Glasgow in this regard here. And they just have some things they still need to work out in terms of some miscommunications that they're continuously having on the offensive line. But for the most part, the split between Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams has been very even, even through both weeks. You know, week one, it was similar. Week two was also similar. The difference in week one is that Melvin Gordon had a chunk 70-yard play, and obviously that makes a little bit of a difference in the stat sheet there. But for the most part, the Broncos' offense was a little difficult in terms of being able to get the ball running consistently enough. They're going to have to find a way how to do that, you know, and they've got a tendency right now to run the ball on second and long, second and eight. They're going to have to figure that out.
All right, and then you mentioned about the offensive line. I want to get to the offensive line. Lloyd Cushenberry, the second-year med guy out of LSU, is at the center position, and he's played pretty well so far in his short NFL career. And then you have Garrett Bowles, followed by, of course, Bobby Massey, who was a great tackle for the Chicago Bears, is with Detroit, and there's Cameron Fleming. Just kind of give me your thoughts on the offensive line. You mentioned about Graham Glasgow, but just give me your thoughts on how you felt the offensive line, their performance in the game against the Jaguars.
Well, you know, obviously they gave up 3 sacks. One of those sacks came from Adam Gotsis on the interior, shot inside Netani Muti right there. So obviously you want to have some help there between he and Lloyd Cushenberry, but that was one of those sacks. One of the ones that was on the Broncos' first offensive drive, and it looked like it was going to be a play-action pass, so Garrett Bowles down blocked. And then Miles Jack came off the edge free and sacked him for a 16-yard loss. You know, like I said, it just goes back to some miscommunication stuff happening on the offensive line between the guys. And even out of 13 personnel where you have 3 tight ends or even 12 when you have 2 tight ends in, seems like there's a miscommunication between that unit. So it's going to be something they have to shore up. But for the most part, I've been impressed with Garrett Bowles, obviously, who earned a big-time contract last year, being extended. Lloyd Cushenberry's had a better start to his season, obviously more comfortable with Pat Shurmur's scheme and obviously knowledgeable about what Mike Munchak wants them to run and how to adjust and check at the line of scrimmage. But really right now my eyes are on left guard with Dalton Reisner. You know, I got to go back and watch the tape. I just got it today trying to figure out whether or not the struggles I'm hearing about with Dalton Reisner, if they're evident, if they're on him, or if it's just a scheme thing. So, you know, some unknowns right now, but for the most part, the Broncos offensive line, I think they've done a really good job of keeping Teddy upright for the most part outside of, you know, those 3 sacks that they gave up on Sunday.
All right, and then I want to get now into the wide receivers. We know Courtland Sutton. Courtland Sutton was big in this game against Jacksonville. He had 9 catches for 159 yards. Also, Tim Patrick, 3 catches for 37 yards and a touchdown. And what about the all-world tight end Noah Fant? Oh, he had 4 catches for 33 yards and a touchdown. How would you rate the performance of the wide receivers and Noah at the tight end position?
And this is a game where Courtland could have easily gone over 200 yards. There were 2 plays in particular deep downfield where there was a handful of contact. There was, what should have been a pass interference call on Shaquille Griffin. They didn't call that. And there was one on a deep left, vertical route that would have been potentially a touchdown if, in fact, that there wasn't a little bit of a jersey pull there by C.J. Henderson. So the fact that he had 9 catches, 159 yards, and he left probably about close to 70, 80 yards on the field if, in fact, one of those penalties would have been called or if he didn't the contact didn't impede his ability to catch it, it's surprising. He had a really good bounce-back game for him, obviously coming off of ACL. It was 364 days since he had torn his ACL. And so for him to kind of have that just barely under a year, that type of performance is impressive. Tim Patrick obviously stepping up in a big way. He's always been a reliable target when you need to move the chains. And obviously with Jerry Jeudy's injury, he's going to see a little bit more of that volume share there, as specifically in the slot and also on the outside. In terms of Noah Fant, the Broncos, they were in a lot of 12 and a lot of 13 personnel. They got him involved, obviously, with a touchdown catch to open up in the second half on an out route. But for the most part, they utilized him to block and chip release in this game, specific for the game plan against the defense that they were going against. But you want to see him utilized a little bit more. There's some areas of his game he still has to improve, and I think really the blocking department is probably going to be the biggest area that Noah Fant has to improve on. Outside of that, you need to find a way, in my opinion, I think, to utilize him in some one-on-one matchups on the outside against some smaller corners because he's got the size, he's got the ability to box out smaller defenders. And I think you have to find a way to get the ball to a guy like that.
I want to stay with the receiving corps for a moment. You mentioned Jerry Jeudy. Jerry suffered a gruesome injury in week 1 against the Giants. He's not going to be out for the season. Thank God for that, because I know a lot of Bronco fans and a lot of football fans were gasping for air when they found out that Jeudy suffered that injury. Can you let the listeners know how long this is a two-part question. First question, can you let the listeners know how long Jerry is going to be out? And number two, what adjustments? I know it's early in the year, but what adjustments have the Broncos made in terms of the passing game? And as you mentioned, of Courtland Sutton and Tim Patrick getting more targets with Jerry being out.
Jerry's going to be out anticipated 6 to 8 weeks, but the thought process right here is that the belief is he's going to be out probably 8 weeks or maybe even a little bit longer. High ankle sprains are very, very difficult to deal with. And for a guy like Jerry Jeudy, who has all these moves at the line of scrimmage with his release off of it against press or even off man, he's going to have that ability to plant and cut effectively. So Denver's not going to rush him back. They want to be smart with him. Obviously, that he's a first-round pick back in the 2020 NFL draft. Denver doesn't want to give away they don't want to put him in a position when he's not ready to come back. So more than likely around 8 weeks is when we're going to see Jerry Jeudy back, potentially, a week or two after the Broncos have their bye week. So it's going to be a little bit of a long time. He's going to miss half the season. So, I think that people should have that expectation to miss out on him for quite some time. But, having other guys like Tim Patrick and K.J. Hamler in the mix a little bit, Kendall Hinton also getting some run with the Broncos this past week, it's just going to be about who's got the hot hand. And I think a lot of it depends on the scheme that the defense is going to be running. Against Jacksonville, we saw a lot of that, four-man front, a defensive front, a lot of plug-in against the run, and a lot of cover one, cover three on the back end of that secondary by Jacksonville. Denver's going to start facing some more aggressive defenses. Robert Saleh's got a nice, a great defensive scheme, great defensive philosophy. The unfortunate thing for the New York Jets is that they just don't have the personnel to be as effective as he was with the San Francisco 49ers. But it'll take some time for the Jets to get there. The Baltimore Ravens, obviously under Wink Martindale, will be a very, very tough test for the Broncos of how aggressive they are, how blitz-heavy, the talent that they have in that secondary. So it's going to be a little bit more aggressive. Denver's going to have to change their game plan up week to week, and really that's what you want to do. You want to build on the things you're doing good at. You want to improve on some of the things you're not doing so good at, but you have to pick and choose, when it's going to be the right time, specifically against the scheme and the team that you're going to be playing against.
All right, and we talked about the Broncos tight end Noah Fant for a moment. There's some great tight ends in the NFL with Rob Gronkowski and Travis Kelce, and of course you've got George Kittle, just to name a few. How does Noah, in your opinion, rank amongst those guys with the being the premier tight ends in the league?
You know, it's tough to say right now. Obviously, you look at Darren Waller, you look at Travis Kelce, both those guys, the ways that they're utilized within their own offense, they're the primary feature for the most part. And the way that they're utilized, their production kind of matches that. You know, Noah Fant has not yet been utilized that way. He's got these flashes of what he could be, but Denver has to increase his utilization rate a lot more, in my opinion, before he can get there. And he's got all the potential. He's got the attributes, the physical traits to be able to do so. But, you know, it all boils down to coaching and being able to scheme him open and to utilize him in ways where he can have a lot of success. But, you know, at this point in time, you know, 2 weeks into the season, it's hard to really tell. That he had a really good week one showing against the New York Giants. So we'll see how he does this weekend against the Jets.
All right. And I want to move along now to the defensive side. I want to start off on the specifically with the defensive backs, Kareem Jackson had 4 tackles against Jacksonville and an interception. Meanwhile, Patrick Surtain, the second, a lot of hype for him, the rookie out of Alabama. He had 2 tackles and an interception as well. Bryce Callahan had 2 tackles and he did very well as well. But also there was a lot of big plays from the defensive backs in Week 1 against the Giants. Ronald Darby, Justin Simmons and Kyle Fuller all had 6 tackles in this contest. Also, Josie Jewell had 4 tackles in that game as well. But just back to Jacksonville, the Jacksonville game for a moment, Josie Jewell also had 2 tackles in this game. Cody, just kind of give me your thoughts on the defensive backs' performance against Jacksonville.
You know, they had a pretty good showing for the most part. Obviously, that first series was a little rough for the Broncos. Kyle Fuller, you know, just out of position by just a half inch in terms of being able to squeeze Marvin Jones. Trevor Lawrence delivered a great ball down the right sideline. But for the most part, the Broncos DBs, they adjusted. They played tighter out there. You know, Bryce Callahan, you didn't see him make too many plays. But that's good because he's really shutting down the number 2 receiver, the slot outside of the nickel, wherever he's playing. You know, when you're doing that, obviously your name's not going to be called too much. But if you go back and watch the film, he was fantastic. The Broncos rookie and Patrick Surtain the second, he obviously had a fantastic defensive performance for the Broncos. You know, specifically in his first career start, obviously coming away with an interception. He was just active, very smart. You can see it on the tape. He's processing the game at a very high level. You know, so outside of that, not much you can really go there. And obviously, Kareem Jackson playing really well, having an interception, just being a heat-seeking missile against the run. He's just a standout player. A couple of pass breakups, and then obviously Justin Simmons. You didn't see Jacksonville really test him too much. So, you know, for the most part, when that happens, you know, you're doing a good thing in that secondary. So they did pretty good.
All right, and then I want to get into a gentleman by the name of Von Miller. Tough year for him last year. He suffered a devastating season-ending injury last year. But so far, so good. He's back to Von Miller rare form, being one of the premier, not just linebackers in the league, but being one of the premier defenders, one of the premier players in the NFL. In the game against the Giants, he had 3 tackles and 2 sacks. Meanwhile, in the game against Jacksonville, he made his presence felt with 2 tackles and a sack. Just kind of give me your thoughts on Vaughn and his performance against Jacksonville, and how he's looked so far in terms of his movement coming back from the injury.
You know, Vaughn's looked really good. He's looked back like the old Vaughn of himself, you know, and there were many times he faced a double team by Jacksonville. He came home with 1 sack against them, but you know, he's a hard guy to stop, and if your quarterback holds on to the ball too long, Von Miller's going to have a field day with it. You know, he's very dominant from the point of attack and also against the run. It's hard for teams to run the football to Von's side. Just having him back, I think, is good, and his level of play right now suggests that the Broncos will more than likely give him an extension this season.
Yeah, definitely. He's definitely deserving. I mean, he's been that anchor of the defense really since he's been in Denver, and definitely well-deserving of it. Still very much in his prime, so hopefully we expect big things from him for this the remainder of this season. I want to talk now about the quarterback position, and that's Teddy Bridgewater. I don't know if you heard the beginning of my introduction, Cody, but the Broncos have had bad luck at the quarterback position since the retirement of Peyton Manning. It's just been like a musical chair, so to speak, at that position. We've had Trevor Siemian. We've had Paxton Lynch. There's been Brett Rippon. And, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. But now this year they have Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy was acquired in the trade to come from coming from Carolina. So I just want to ask you before we delve deep into the game against Jacksonville, what were your thoughts when you found out that the Broncos had acquired Bridgewater?
Well, you know, obviously a veteran quarterback that, you know, for him has had success wherever he's gone. He's been a tremendous leader. You know, what was more impressive is what he was able to do with the New Orleans Saints when Drew Brees went down, leading them to a 5-0 record, you know, and having a defense that played strong football. But for him, he's just smart. He's decisive. He knows where to go. Yeah, you know, I don't think anybody understood at the time when the Broncos made this move, you know, what it was going to be like. Were they bringing in Teddy just to be a competition for Drew Lock, to be a veteran guy that could mentor him? We didn't know that at that point. We didn't know what the real end game was. But, I mean, it was a true quarterback competition. And the way that Teddy commands the huddle, the way that he leads, you know, is something that Drew Lock didn't have for the Broncos. And it's something that he can eventually have. But having a guy like Teddy that demonstrates that in the day-to-day, day in, day out, I think will be good for Drew. Drew's just not ready to be that starter just yet, and it's obviously evident if the coaches believe that they put, you know, Teddy as the starter. So far through 2 weeks, his command of the offense, being able to be calm, cool, and collected, his ability to lead has been very, very fantastic for that locker room, and there's a different vibe from the players, you know, with Teddy Bridgewater. That's nothing against Drew Lock. It just goes to show that there's something with Teddy right now that has this energy that attracts everybody to pay attention and to focus when Teddy is talking in the locker room and team meetings. These are things that I think that the Broncos didn't have. And obviously with a younger quarterback, that is not there yet. It's hard for players, older players specifically, to kind of buy into that with Drew Lock. So, you know, that's going to be something that takes time for Drew. I don't think Drew's time is up just yet. But I think that while Teddy is in command of the offense and is doing well, I think the Broncos are going to keep rolling with him.
You said that it's not Drew's time yet, and you said that he needs to learn from Teddy. If Teddy is currently in a three-year, $93 million contract, if Teddy continues to have this success like that, do you think the Broncos would still believe in Drew Lock and believe that he can be the one, or do you think they could possibly move on? I know it's premature, and we've only been through 2 weeks in the NFL, but do you believe that Drew could still be the one to come in and take the reins over at the quarterback position?
I think he can eventually. I don't think it's going to be this year, and I don't think it's going to be next year either. If Teddy Bridgewater is playing the way that he's playing, he'll still be the guy. You know, the Broncos, obviously they're going to be monitoring the Aaron Rodgers situation, but that is a pipe dream at this point in time. And the Broncos, what they've got right now with Teddy Bridgewater, he's younger than Rodgers. And look, if he keeps playing the way that he's playing, Denver might reward him and keep him on the roster. Drew Lock needs to develop a little bit more, and there's nothing wrong with him kind of sitting and learning a little bit. So it's really hard to tell at this point what the true trajectory will be.
All right, fair enough. And again, Teddy had a solid week one against the New York Giants. He completed 28 out of 36 passes for 264 yards. And he had two touchdown passes. And Cody, he really stepped up his game against Jacksonville. He completed 26 out of 34 passes for 328 yards and two touchdown passes. So he really upped his game against the Jaguars. Just give me your thoughts on his performance against Jacksonville.
You know, I just think that it goes back to what I was saying earlier. He's got a great command of the huddle. I mean, there was pressure in his face. He was navigating. You know, the common narrative that people have been speaking about Teddy Bridgewater has suggested that he's not a guy that can take shots downfield. He can't throw the ball downfield. Well, he had the second longest pass this week in the NFL with 55 yards. Derek Carr had a 61-yard pass. So, and he took multiple shots downfield past 20 yards. So, you know, he's kind of proven some of these narratives wrong, which I'm very excited to see. I'm glad that he's doing that. You know, but for the most part, it's just about continuing to stack on these performances. He's done really well. Now it's just about building and maintaining.
All right, fair enough. And then this gets on to our next topic, the Broncos' next game against the New York Jets. And you mentioned about building and maintaining. And the New York Jets, unfortunately, you know, with their quarterback situation in the last almost a decade, they haven't been able to build and maintain at that position. And hopefully They're hoping to build and maintain at the quarterback position with their draft pick and Zach Wilson. Robert Saleh having a tough time right now with the Jets, Jets. They just lost their last game against New England. I want to start off just with Zach Wilson for a moment. As far as the Broncos defense is concerned, what do you think the Broncos defense need to do to neutralize Zach Wilson in the Jet offense?
Well, you know, it just goes back to what you did last week against Trevor Lawrence. Pressure, pressure, pressure. You know, for a guy like Zach Wilson, he's got a big arm, so he's not going to be afraid to try to fit the ball into tight windows. That's the perfect opportunity for the Broncos to come away with takeaways. I mean, he did that exactly last week, against the New England Patriots, tried to force some passes into the tight windows. It didn't work out for him. Four interceptions for him. The Broncos have a chance to kind of replicate the same and win the turnover battle there, but it's about disguising your looks. He's going to be a good quarterback. You know, he's off to a rough start. They don't have a lot of personnel around him, and he's trying to do a little too much, in my opinion, based on what I've seen from the film. So, Denver, like I said, just keep the pressure coming and play disciplined coverage, and they'll be okay.
All right, now let's switch over to the other side of the ball. We have Denver's offense and with Bridgewater and, of course, with the running game and the wide receivers. What, in your opinion, Cody, what do you think the game plan is going to be for the Broncos offense going up against the Jet defense?
I think that the key is just going to be try to get the run game going and be better on third down. Denver has not been very efficient on third down so far this year. You know, against this Jets defense, you're going to have an opportunity to attack inside the A and the B gap a little bit. They like to play, a little bit wide on the edges. They like to try to pinch down the edge of the tackle there, and then they like to plug their inside linebackers. But you just have to find a way to just get in rhythm here. This is a great game, great opportunity for the Broncos to really try to focus on the run game. We know the passing game is there for Denver, so it's about trying to get that going because you're going to need to be able to run the ball here very soon against some of these better teams you're going to be facing. So for me, I think the key is going to be run the ball, control the time of possession. Once again, Denver had 38 minutes time of possession in the Jacksonville game in comparison to Jacksonville's 21. I mean, that is a recipe for winning if you're converting on third down. So that's an area they have to improve on.
Awesome. And you heard it from him. He is Cody Rourke. He is the host of the Locked On Broncos podcast, which is dedicated to all things related to the Denver Broncos. And again, Cody, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. Just tell everybody what you do with Locked On Broncos, as well as some other things, other assignments that you're busy with.
Yeah, just do a daily podcast covering the Broncos, Monday through Friday, every single day, whatever's going on with the team. We break it down, we react. That's Locked On Broncos on all podcasting platforms, also in video format on YouTube, and also do a lot of work with ProFootballNetwork.com. So if you ever want to stay up to date with all that's going on in football, check out ProFootballNetwork.com. Also check out the podcast.
All right, and where can they find you on social media, as well as Locked On Broncos, as well as any other things that you want to promote for social media? And if you have any websites, let them know that as well.
Yeah, you can check out CodyRourkeNFL.com. It's the website. I have everything up there from the podcast to, my latest tweets, whatever it is. Also on Twitter, if you want to give me a follow at CodyRourkeNFL. I always look forward to talking football with anybody and everybody.
Awesome to hear, and you heard it from him. He is Cody Rourke. He is the host of the Locked On Broncos podcast dedicated to covering Denver Broncos content, and he's also the director of video content for Pro Football Network, and he also does some other analyzing work for the Denver Broncos as well. Check him out. Cody, thank you so much, and if ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. We'll be back with more right after this.
It's great coming out today. Coming with another victory. It's great to be in that locker room right now. It's great to be a part of it. Talk about sacrificing. And I think we did a great job of doing that today. Came out here a day early. Guys are away from their families. I'm a Florida guy. I couldn't really see my family while out here. But, we all came together and made a decision that it's about one thing, coming out here and winning. And we did a good job of doing that. Of course, when you watch games, you go back, there's some room for improvement. But the best thing right now is, and we play this game, we win. I think we were like 2-for-11 on third down. So every week something's going to come up where it's like, man, you were great in one area, you improved in one area. But it's all about finding a way to win. And we did a great job with that. Defense came away, a couple turnovers. We can't give up a special teams touchdown. We can't keep selling field goals on some of these drives. But, the feeling in that locker room, you don't want to take it away from the guy. So a lot of room for improvement. Great team win. Can't wait to get back home 2-0, get to play in front of the pack, then with Broncos Stadium. I get to experience it this time playing for the Broncos. I experienced it the year the Broncos won the Super Bowl. I was with the Vikings, and I can tell you right now, it's not a fun sight. So looking forward to that. And, yeah.
Life gets a lot more magical when you dream. So let's dream of a vacation unlike any other. A magical Disney cruise.
Hiya, pal!
Where new stories meet tales as old as time.
Enchanté, mon ami!
And your family will be cared for the moment you step aboard. Sail from Florida to Disney's private island paradise and get ready for a dream come true with Disney Cruise Line.
¿Qué desea ordenar?
Una Big Mac y... Oye, ¿pedimos 10 McNuggets?
Sí. ¿Miti, miti?
Dale. ¿Te acuerdas cuando mamá te hacía compartir y peleabas?
Ey, más respeto a tu hermana mayor.
El amor de hermanos deal de McDonald's. Ordena por anticipado por el app de McDonald's y llévate dos tus favoritos como McNuggets de 10 piezas y una Big Mac por solo $6. Precios y participación pueden variar, producto individual a precio regular.
Can you feel it? 50 years of magic are about to transform the entire Walt Disney World Resort into the world's most magical celebration. And it all begins October 1st. Find out more at DisneyWorld.com/50.
911, what's your emergency?
There's a train that just hit a car.
Sir, what is your location? Look around for a street sign, sir.
8th and Orchard.
Okay, very good. 8th and Orchard. Sir, help is on the way.
Why would he do that? The train still hasn't stopped. You have to get there now.
At a railway crossing, even if the engineer sees you and hits the brakes, it can take a mile for the train to stop. And for you, that's too late. Stop. Trains can't. Paid for by NHTSA.
If you want to take your vehicle's performance to new heights, you got to give it peak. Like our original equipment technology, antifreeze and coolant. Our formulas match the vehicle manufacturer's technology requirements so that we have the perfect match for every vehicle. That's one reason why Peak is among the fastest growing brands of coolant in America. We work harder to earn the trust of people like you every day. That's Peak Performance.
Escape to a world of magic and imagination.
Oh, boy.
Where every step leads to an unforgettable adventure. Encounter wild beasts, daring space rangers, and some grim, grinning ghosts. Escape to your happy place at Walt Disney World Resort.
Life gets a lot more magical when you dream. So let's dream of a vacation unlike any other. A magical Disney cruise.
Hiya, pal!
Where new stories meet tales as old as time.
Enchanté, mon ami!
And your family will be cared for the moment you step aboard. Sail from Florida to Disney's private island paradise and get ready for a dream come true with Disney Cruise Line. Life gets a lot more magical when you dream. So let's dream of a vacation unlike any other. A magical Disney cruise.
Hiya, pal!
Where new stories meet tales as old as time.
Enchanté, mon ami!
And your family will be cared for the moment you step aboard. Sail from Florida to Disney's private island paradise and get ready for a dream come true with Disney Cruise Line.
Can you feel it? 50 years of magic are about to transform the entire Walt Disney World Resort into the world's most magical celebration. And it all begins October 1st. Find out more at DisneyWorld.com/50.
Life gets more magical when you dream. So dream of a Disney cruise filled with magic and wonder.
Hiya, pal!
Sail from Florida to Disney's private island paradise and get ready for a dream come true with Disney Cruise Line. Life gets more magical when you dream. So dream of a Disney cruise filled with magic and wonder.
Hiya, pal!
Sail from Florida to Disney's private island paradise and get ready for a dream come true with Disney Cruise Line.
If you have a K-12 student and receive government assistance, you may be eligible for fast, affordable internet from Cox. Visit cox.com/connect to compete for program details.
Applicants may need to provide documentation for eligibility. Other restrictions apply.
You could bring home the bacon, but why stop there? When you shop with Acme for You, you can bring home the entire breakfast. The bacon, the eggs, the pancakes, and more. You can bring home great rewards, personalized deals, and points to redeem on groceries and gas. You can even bring home a free treat on your birthday. Sounds like we're gonna need a bigger frying pan. Become a free Acme for You member today. No purchase necessary. Download the Acme Deals and Delivery app and feed your joy. Visit acmemarkets.com/foryou for program details.
Can you feel it? 50 years of magic are about to transform the entire Walt Disney World Resort into the world's most magical celebration. And it all begins October 1st. Find out more at DisneyWorld.com/50.
San Marcos, natural spaces and chill-out places where you can float, kayak, or swim the spring-fed San Marcos River. Experience our live music and local arts scene. Go to visit sanmarcos.com or visit SMTX on Instagram.
Escape to a world of magic and imagination.
Oh,
encounter wild beasts and daring space rangers. Escape to your happy place at Walt Disney World Resort.
You never want to put all your eggs in one basket. But what if that basket is really, really big? With Cars for You, you get a huge basket, big enough for personalized deals on things you like to buy and even a free treat on your birthday. You can earn rewards on nearly all purchases and redeem them for things like free groceries and discounts on gas. So go ahead and put all your eggs in one basket. Become a free Cars for You member today. No purchase necessary. Download the Cars Deals and Delivery app and feed your joy. Visit carsqc.com/foryou for program details.
You could bring home the bacon, but why stop there? When you shop with Tom Thumb for You, you can bring home the entire breakfast. The bacon, the eggs, the pancakes, and more. You can bring home great rewards, personalized deals, and points to redeem on groceries and gas. You can even bring home a free treat on your birthday. Sounds like we're gonna need a bigger frying pan. Become a free Tom Thumb for You member today. No purchase necessary. Download the Tom Thumb Deals and Delivery app and feed your joy. Visit tomthumb.com/foryou for program details.
Life gets a lot more magical when you dream. So let's dream of a vacation unlike any other. A magical Disney cruise.
Hiya, pal!
Where new stories meet tales as old as time.
Enchanté, mon ami!
And your family will be cared for the moment you step aboard. Sail from Florida to Disney's private island paradise and get ready for a dream come true with Disney Cruise Line.
You never want to put all your eggs in one basket. But what if that basket is really, really big? With Vons for You, you get a huge basket, big enough for personalized deals on things you like to buy and even a free treat on your birthday. You can earn rewards on nearly all purchases and redeem them for things like free groceries and discounts on gas. So go ahead and put all your eggs in one basket. Become a free Vons for You member today. No purchase necessary. Download the Vons Deals and Delivery app and feed your joy. Visit vons.com/foryou for program details.
This is the magic we've been waiting for. The Walt Disney World 50th Anniversary calls us here. The world's most magical celebration is drawing near. Starting October 1st, join us and make the magic soar. Visit DisneyWorld.com/50 for more. This is the magic we've been waiting for. The Walt Disney World 50th Anniversary calls us here. The world's most magical celebration is drawing near. Starting October 1st, join us and make the magic soar. Visit DisneyWorld.com/50 for more.
You never want to put all your eggs in one basket. But what if that basket is really, really big? With Safeway for You, you get a huge basket, big enough for personalized deals on things you like to buy and even a free treat on your birthday. You can earn rewards on nearly all purchases and redeem them for things like free groceries and discounts on gas. So go ahead and put all your eggs in one basket. Become a free Safeway for You member today. No purchase necessary. Download the Safeway Deals and Delivery app and feed your joy. Visit Safeway.com/foryou for program details.
Life gets a lot more magical when you dream. So let's dream of a vacation unlike any other. A magical Disney cruise.
Hiya, pal!
Where new stories meet tales as old as time.
Enchanté, mon ami!
And your family will be cared for the moment you step aboard.
Sail from Florida to Disney's private island paradise and get ready for a dream come true with Disney Cruise Line. Life gets more magical when you dream. So dream of a Disney cruise filled with magic and wonder.
Hiya, pal!
Sail from Florida to Disney's private island paradise and get ready for a dream come true with Disney Cruise Line. Life gets more magical when you dream. So dream of a Disney cruise filled with magic and wonder.
Hiya, pal!
Sail from Florida to Disney's private island paradise and get ready for a dream come true with Disney Cruise Line. Life gets a lot more magical when you dream. So let's dream of a vacation unlike any other. A magical Disney cruise.
Hiya, pal!
Where new stories meet tales as old as time.
Enchanté, mon ami!
And your family will be cared for the moment you step aboard. Sail from Florida to Disney's private island paradise and get ready for a dream come true with Disney Cruise Line.
Looking for a foundation that can multitask as well as you? Maybelline's Fit Me Matte and Poreless Foundation is it. What does it do? More like, what doesn't it do? It's oil-free and non-comedogenic, so it won't ever clog your pores. It controls shine for a full 12 hours. It refines your pores so your skin looks smooth and perfected. It's lightweight and breathable, so your skin will never feel heavy or cakey. And it comes in 40 shades. 97% of women found their perfect shade. It's obvious why Fit Me Matte and Poreless is America's number one foundation. Buy yours now in a bottle or pouch at Amazon.com.
What can you do if you wake up rested? Improve your overall health and performance with deep, restful sleep and app-controlled cooling technology by Chilly Sleep. Enjoy uninterrupted and high-quality deep sleep that caters to your body's natural rest pattern. Chilly Sleep helps you rest soundly beside your partner with temperature settings adjusted specifically for your side of the bed. Visit chillysleep.com/try. That's chillysleep.com/try.
911, what's your emergency?
Una camioneta. Una camioneta que se cruza las vías. Y el tren. Ay, Dios mío.
Señora, ¿me está diciendo que un tren le pegó a una camioneta?
Sí. Yo pensé que alcanzaría a cruzar. El hijo iba rápido, creo, y después. Ay, Dios mío, qué horror.
No puedes saber a qué velocidad viene un tren. Por eso están los señalamientos de advertencia. Obedécelos. Alto. El tren no para.
Mensaje de Netza.
Life gets a lot more magical when you dream. So let's dream of a vacation unlike any other. A magical Disney cruise.
Hiya, pal!
Where new stories meet tales as old as time.
Enchanté, mon ami!
And your family will be cared for the moment you step aboard. Sail from Florida to Disney's private island paradise and get ready for a dream come true with Disney Cruise Line.
The new Macy's Backstage at the Center at Preston Ridge is now open. Here's the deal. Our name says Macy's, but Macy's Backstage has totally different finds at incredibly low prices. Think the latest look, home decor, toys, and more. Plus, Macy's Star Rewards members earn on every purchase, except gift cards, services, and fees. So join us at the new Macy's Backstage at the Center at Preston Ridge. Off price, on trend, arriving daily. More at macysbackstage.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, a big special thank you to Cody Rourke, the host of the Locked On Broncos podcast, dedicated to covering the Denver Broncos, giving us the insights of what's currently going on with the Broncos, recapping their Week 2 win over the Jacksonville Jaguars, also talking a little Teddy Bridgewater, Vaughn Miller, and the Broncos' next game against the Jets, among other things. Again, a big special thank you to Cody from the Locked On Broncos podcast. All right, let's get right to Week 3's most important games that I've picked to preview. Let's start off with Thursday night football between the Carolina Panthers and the Houston Texans. Let's start off with the Texans for a moment. No Tyrod Taylor. suffered an injury in the game against the Cleveland Browns. So Davis Mills will be the starting quarterback for the game against the Carolina Panthers. So while quarterback issues that they have, Deshaun Watson, he is on the roster, but again, not eligible to play due to some offseason itch situations that he's had. So therefore, Davis Mills will get the start at the quarterback spot for the Texans. Meanwhile, they have a running back by committee in Houston with Mark Ingram, also Rex Burkhead. They also use David Johnson, Phillip Lindsay, and Scottie Phillips from time to time. So again, Houston getting a win over Jacksonville to get their first win of the year, but then also in last week's game, they lost a tough one by 10 points to the Cleveland Browns. Meanwhile, for the Carolina Panthers, the Panthers are 2-0 with wins over the Jets and the Saints. Sam Darnold, so far so good since coming over from the trade from the Jets. Sam Darnold has played very well in his early part of the year, and Christian McCaffrey is going to be Christian McCaffrey. Christian is doing what he does best, both on running and receiving the football. And also give a lot of credit to the other players involved for Carolina, such as DJ Moore. And you can't forget about the return of Robbie Anderson, who's paid off big dividends for the Carolina Panthers. And defensively, they did an effective job last week containing Jameis Winston in the New Orleans Saints offense. So Carolina and Houston, this is going to be a decent game. I think the Texans are going to have their troubles with the at the quarterback position because Tyrod Taylor was filling in nicely, but now they have Davis Mills coming in as their starting quarterback. So who knows what's going to happen in the Thursday night game against the Carolina Panthers. Meanwhile, Carolina is definitely riding a high right now, being 2-0 on the year. So that's Thursday night action between the Panthers and the Texans. Let's move along now to the Los Angeles Chargers going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. This is an AFC West rivalry game. This goes back to the days of the 60s in the AFL. But now let's fast forward ahead to the current with the Chargers and the Chiefs. The Chargers lost a close one on a last-second field goal by Dallas. The Cowboys would beat the Chargers 20-17. Justin Herbert, he's going to have a lot to say about this. Everything is riding high for in this game right here. The Chargers currently 1-1. In week one, they wind up beating the Washington football team in a very close game. Week two, as I stated earlier, they lost a tough one on a last-second field goal made by the Dallas Cowboys. So Justin Herbert, he's got his pride aside. I know he is going to come back strong in this contest right here. So we got Justin Herbert, also Austin Eckler filling in nicely. He's expected to get some big runs against that Chiefs defense. Keenan Allen, Jalen Guyton. How about Mike Williams? Mike Williams has stepped up his game within the first 2 weeks of the NFL season. And how about the Chargers defense? Enough said with Linval Joseph, also Joey Bosa, Kenneth Murray, and Chris Harris Jr., along with Derwin James and Asante Samuel Jr. So the Chargers are definitely going to come march to one of the toughest places to play in the NFL, and that's Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. It's loud, it's noisy, and the Chiefs fans are going to have it on their mind, and the Chiefs are going to have it on their mind coming onto the field after losing a tough one last Sunday night to the Baltimore Ravens. Patrick Mahomes, we know he's going to have a lot on his mind. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had ball control issues in the game against Baltimore. I expect Clyde in that running game to clean up those mistakes and to get better in terms of ball control and running the ball. And, of course, offensively, we saw a lot of Travis Kelce and a lot of Mecole Hardman and DeMarcus Robinson in that game, but we did not see a lot of Tyreek Hill in that game. I expect Tyreek Hill to go off big time in this game against the Chargers. So Chargers and Chiefs, two young, exciting quarterbacks, Justin Herbert going up against Patrick Mahomes, but also we'll pay attention to the running games on both squads as well. And how will the Chargers defense put a hold on Patrick Mahomes and that Chiefs offense? That's going to be an interesting matchup right there. Stay tuned for that. That's going to be a great one between the Chargers and the Chiefs. Let's move along now to the Chicago Bears going up against the Cleveland Browns. Newsflash, newsflash, newsflash. Yes, that's right. Andy Dalton still hampered by a knee injury. He will not play. Bears coach Matt Nagy made it official that Justin Fields will be the starting quarterback. So Justin will get his first career NFL regular season start. That is big, not just for Bears fans, but big for football fans as well, because people have waited really since at the end of preseason for this. And people were in shock that Andy Dalton was going to be the starting quarterback. Well, Andy suffered the injury against the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bears did win that game, but again, the Bears have continued to have issues at the quarterback spot. But now Andy is battling an injury, so Justin Fields will be the starting quarterback. So this is going to be interesting how this Bears offense is going to run. We know the Bears' primary asset on the offensive side is running game and short passes. But when you have a quarterback like Justin Fields and his skill set and his athletic ability, the Bears offense is going to open up, is going to extend plays. And when the quarterback plays well, that opens up for the running game and everything is going to fall into place. Bears defense, there's no need to get a long speech about the Bears defense. We know what the Bears defense is capable of doing with Khalil Mack. Also, you've got Roquan Smith, Akeem Hicks, Eddie Goldman, also Eddie Jackson. A lot of these players have been brilliant really for about almost 5 years now, and so far they've played pretty well. They've been pretty consistent, and I think they're gonna play very well against this Cleveland Browns team. Now, with the Cleveland Browns, they're hampered by injuries as well. Jarvis Landry is injured, so they've placed him on the injured reserve list. Odell Beckham Jr., we don't know what the status of him is going to be, so that puts a lot of pressure on Baker Mayfield to make plays happen. They do have, of course, there's Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, what they can do on the running attack. So expect Cleveland to, of course, continue to do what they do best in terms of running the football with both Chubb and Hunt. But they also expect Baker Mayfield to try to test that Bear defense, to try to test their heart and see where they're really at in this contest. It's going to be a good one. This is going to be the Browns' home opener, their first game of the year, so it definitely is going to be exciting. And, man, Justin Fields, first career NFL start. This should be an exciting matchup between the Bears and the Browns. Next up, we have the New Orleans Saints going against the New England Patriots. So much has happened within a week and a half with the New Orleans Saints. Immediately after destroying the Green Bay Packers in week one, injuries, and of course COVID, which is still a fluid and ongoing situation, COVID wreaked havoc on the Saints squad. And now it's wreaked havoc. A lot of assistants and even some staff members were affected by COVID. And then it kind of showed a little bit in their play against the Carolina Panthers. They just had no answer for them, both offensively, defensively, and special teams. Jameis Winston looked very flat in this contest. And they hope to get it fixed and get it fixed in a hurry because they're going to be going up against the New England Patriots. Now, the Patriots are currently 1-1. The Patriots are currently 1-1. They lost their opener to the Miami Dolphins, and they wind up beating the New York Jets. So now this is going to be their home opener against a tough team in the New Orleans Saints. The Saints, I think Jameis will play a little bit better in this contest, but we got to remember that Bill Belichick has been an architect for years on defense. So certainly I know that game plan is going to be ferocious as far as with the Patriots defense trying to stop the Saints offense. And again, you have New England has Dante Hightower, Matthew Judon, Kyle Van Noy, and Devin Gotchow, and Chase Vinovich. So, and of course, Devin McCourty, J.C. Jackson. So certainly we know that New England's defense can hang with the Saints offense. But the question is, the real X factor is, how would a Saints defense go up against New England's offense, particularly going against a rookie quarterback in Mac Jones? Because I know the Saints defense were embarrassed by Sam Darnold, but I wonder what the game plan is going to be going up against rookie quarterback Mac Jones. If the Saints have it their way, their defensive line could create a pass rush and shake up Mac and make him do things that he does not want to do. So certainly this is going to be an interesting matchup right here. This is going to be a good one up in Foxborough at Gillette Stadium between the Saints and the Patriots. Next game is going to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the L.A. Rams. First for Tampa Bay, Antonio Brown is currently on the reserve COVID-19 list. Now, Antonio can play in this game against the Rams if he can exhibit two negative COVID-19 tests within a 24-hour period. So if he can prove that, then he'll be eligible to play against the Rams. But in the meantime, Tampa Bay 2-0 coming into this game. The Bucs, Tom Brady, what can you say? Continue to beat Father Time to a bloody pulp, doing what he does best, just that championship experience. Rob Gronkowski, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and, of course, the running tandem of Leonard Fournette. And then you've got Ronald Jones, and then you can't forget about Gio Bernard in the mix as well. But the Buccaneers' defense, particularly the defensive line and the linebackers, the strength of their defense, you know, with Devin White, Shaq Barrett, just the list, Vita Vea, the list goes on and on and on. So the Bucs are going to be coming in. Again, the Antonio Brown situation is very fluid, and hopefully, you know, we'll know something at game time. Expected to be the late game on Fox. But how about the L.A. Rams? The Rams winning the Sunday night opener against the Chicago Bears. Also, the Rams having their way, the Rams are having their way in their second game. And I mean, you can rest assured that the Rams brought the heat on the offensive side and then some within the first two seasons, within the first 2 weeks of the NFL regular season. Man, Matthew Stafford, I knew this offense would be explosive with him and Sean McVay. Man, first game, second game, it's so far so good. It's superseded that and then some. We know that when Jared Goff was the quarterback with the Rams, him and McVay had a solid relationship. But man, Matthew Stafford, I mean, this is, I guess they say that the best is yet to come. And again, they're currently 2-0 with wins over the Bears and wins at at Indianapolis beating the Colts. And man, Matthew Stafford again in his opener against the Bears, passing for 321 yards and then passing for 278 against the Indianapolis Colts. And again, they're going up against Tampa Bay. This is basically going to be a lot of storylines in this matchup. Brady versus Stafford, the Bucs defense going up against the Rams offense, the Rams defense going up against the Bucs offense. And this may be, I know it's so early in the year, this could be a preview of the NFC Championship game. Too early, but hey, that's just my 2 cents on that. This could be a preview of the NFC Championship game, but Bucs and Rams going to be an exciting matchup. Next game that I picked is going to be the Seattle Seahawks going up against the Minnesota Vikings. I remember the Seahawks-Vikings wild card playoff game from maybe 5 or 6 years ago. The temperature at kickoff was like -2 degrees, and I got to tell you, what a game it was. What a game between the Seahawks and the Vikings. We remember that Blair Walsh missed the field goal to win the game. Seahawks were going to win 10-9 in that contest, and they've had some solid games during the time. They've played a couple of times on Monday night in Seattle. I think there was also a Sunday night game between the Vikings and the Seahawks. This is really going to come down to really the quarterbacks, Kirk Cousins and Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson having a MVP year so far. The team is 1-1, but they're looking to try to right those wrongs once again as they make that trip to Minneapolis to take on the Vikings. Russell Wilson in his first game against the Colts had 4 touchdown passes, and in his second game against Tennessee, despite losing in overtime, he had 343 passing yards and 2 touchdowns. So the running game has been okay for Seattle, but it's so far this looks like this is going to fall on Russell Wilson in that passing game with Tyler Lockett, also DK Metcalf. It just the list goes on for Seattle. So Seattle going to Minnesota, one of the toughest places to play in the National Football League, and the Vikings, they've got something to say about this as well. Losing a tough game in overtime to Cincinnati, then you're losing in a tough one to the Arizona Cardinals. So Kirk Cousins, he has it on his mind, and then some. You can never be sure about anything with Kirk Cousins. He's played well. It's just unfortunate is that sometimes it looks like some issues going on defensively down the stretch where they just can't hold it together. But defensively, they're going to have to hold it together because the Seattle offense, particularly with Russell Wilson and that passing game, it is going to be crucial. This is going to be a fantastic game between the Seahawks and the Vikings. Sunday night, the Green Bay Packers against the San Francisco 49ers. I want to start off with Green Bay for a moment. They were embarrassed by the Saints in week one. No excuses. Aaron Rodgers played the worst game of his NFL career. Running game, never got going. Defensively, they just weren't there. We understand that everything was just kaplut from here on out. But they showed up in a big way Monday night when they beat the Detroit Lions in week two. So with that being said, Green Bay getting a big test very early in the year against the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers offense was the name of the game in week one against the Detroit Lions. Week two, it was more about defense. Now, the issues with San Francisco, again, running game, Elijah Mitchell is day-to-day. He suffered an injury as well. Trey Sermon is injured as well as like Jamichael Hasty. He's going to get a portion of the runs for San Francisco, but they've got that defense, man, and it's really good with the likes of Nick Bosa and Eric Armstead, and just the list goes on with San Francisco and what they're capable of doing. San Fran, you know, Jimmy G at the quarterback position, people were saying that Trey Lance should have been the starter. Well, so far, so good. I mean, Jimmy G is doing what Jimmy G does best, being effective, not making too many mistakes, doing what he needs to do to thrive in this San Francisco offense. So a lot is at stake here in this game so early in the year. And Aaron Rodgers, man, I expect Aaron Rodgers to have a big game. I don't know why. Despite with this San Francisco defense, I just think that Aaron Rodgers is going to muster up every every fiber in his being to win this game for the Packers. And not just Aaron Rodgers, but the defense as well. I think Green Bay's defense is going to be solid. Not great, but they'll be solid in this game. And Green Bay and San Francisco Sunday night going to be a fantastic game. And Monday night, I like the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Dallas Cowboys. First for Philly, losing a tough game, couldn't get going offensively against that tough 49er defense. Jalen Hurts tried to make plays late in the contest. It didn't necessarily work out for him. And they're going to have to try to get back on a roll on the winning side as they head to take on the Dallas Cowboys at Jerry World in Arlington. This is Dallas's home opener. They lost the kickoff opener against Tampa Bay in a good game. They were able to beat the Los Angeles Chargers in a close game, winning by a field goal. So now this is their home opener on a Monday night. Dak Prescott was effective in week two, but it was the running game, the combination of Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott. They played very well. It was that thunder and lightning, that running back tandem type deal that was able to get the edge over the Chargers in the win by three. So Philly and Dallas, we know Dallas's defense didn't play well in week one. They played much better in week two. Philly's offense played great in week one. Week two, no, not at all. This is going to be an interesting. I think this is going to come down between Philly's offense and Dallas's defense. We know Dallas's defense has had injuries. DeMarcus Lawrence, and they lost a lot of people during the offseason. This could be a makeup. This is could be a comeback game for Jalen Hurts and the passing game. Eagles and Cowboys, again, that's a rivalry game. This goes back to decades of these two teams not liking each other. The fan base is having a disdain for one another. Eagles and Cowboys, Monday night, it's going to be great. All right, and that takes care of a preview of week three's most important games that I picked. Now it's time for my game of the week. My game of the week is going to be the Green Bay Packers versus the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers play hard and they play tough. They don't play finesse, and that's okay because they like to win games their way. Kyle Shanahan has structured this team on the offensive side with you have Jimmy Garoppolo, which is a guy that doesn't dazzle you too much, but he does enough to keep you in the game and to win games. Huge emphasis on a running game and a short passing game with receivers taking things from 5 yards and beyond. And defensively, it's about as tough and it's about as good as it gets with Eric Armstead, Nick Bosa, D. Ford, Javon Kinlaw. Also, you got Fred Warner and Drake Kirkpatrick, Emmanuel Mosley. You got Josh Norman and so on and so forth. That's how they play. They play tough. And it's been like that. We can go back to the Jim Harbaugh era in San Francisco where it was such an emphasis on defense. And even in the Kyle Shanahan era, it continues to be about defense. And, of course, quarterbacks that don't make too many mistakes that can manage the game. And Jimmy G has done that nicely and then some. But the defense has had some injuries in this 49er squad, and the defense is going to have to step up their game two notches to go up against a future Hall of Famer in Aaron Rodgers. 2 years ago, the 49ers beat the Packers in an NFC championship game, and also they beat them very badly on a Sunday night football. I think this game is going to be much different this time just because of what's happened in the offseason with Aaron Rodgers, fighting management, you know, making demands. A lot of things has happened. He's rediscovered himself, doing a lot of things outside of football. He's always been a very interesting person, but we really got a chance to see how really interesting he is during this off season. And I think just something is different about this game. Aaron is going to channel every ounce and every fiber in his body to make this game happen. But not just him. The running game is going to be strong. I think the offensive line, the pass protection, is going to be a little shaky. Again, no David Bakhtiari. They've got two rookies on the offensive line. It's going to be shaky. But for some reason, I just think that that pack of offense is going to get going against San Francisco. This is going to be a very interesting game, a chess match, if you will. Green Bay's offense against San Francisco's defense, or San Francisco's offense against Green Bay's defense. We know San Francisco, they love to run the ball. When they can get that running game going, it enables Jimmy G to make plays on the passing side. So, great game on Sunday night between Green Bay and San Francisco, my game of the week. All right, before we get on out of here, I want to give my picks on who I think will win Week 3's most important games. Let's start off with Thursday night football. I like the Carolina Panthers to beat the Houston Texans. I like the Kansas City Chiefs to beat the Los Angeles Chargers. Chicago and Cleveland, I like the Browns to beat the Bears. I think it's going to be a very close game between the Saints and the Patriots. I like New England to win this game. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers going against the Los Angeles Rams. This is going to be a shootout, but I like the Buccaneers to win that one. The Seattle Seahawks going up against the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota's going to give it all they have, but I see Russell Wilson and the Hawks coming back strong. I like Seattle to win this game. Sunday night, Green Bay and San Francisco, fantastic game, but I like Green Bay to win that one. And Monday night, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. I like the Eagles to come back strong to win that game. So again, here are my winners for Week 3's most important games that I picked: Carolina, Kansas City, Cleveland, New England, Tampa Bay, Seattle, Green Bay, and Philadelphia. Again, that's Carolina, Kansas City, Cleveland, New England, Tampa Bay, Seattle, Green Bay, and Philadelphia. So there you go. Those are my picks for Week 3's most important games that I picked. Hope you enjoyed this week's edition of the League Wraparound. Once again, a big special thank you to Cody Rourke, the host of the Locked On Broncos podcast. The podcast is dedicated to some cool things, covering all things related, content related to the Denver Broncos. Great to have him on the program recapping the Broncos' win against the Jaguars in Week 2. Also talking about some great things happening that has happened and continue to happening for the Denver Broncos. So until next week, I'm Ed Robinson saying so long, and you've listened to the League Wraparound.